We rise for our processional dialogue. We worship as we live, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Let us pray. We praise and thank you, O God, for the great acts of love by which you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. On this day, he entered the holy city of Jerusalem in triumph and was acclaimed Son of David and King of Kings by those who scattered their garments and branches of palm in his path. Let our lives truly bless the Messiah who comes in the name of the Lord, and grant that we may ever hail him as our Lord and King, following our Savior with perfect confidence, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Our processional gospel is a reading from St. John, the 12th chapter. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast of Passover heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went out to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Our processional gospel. We rise as we are able for our processional hymn, All Glory, Laud, and Honor, hymn number 108 in the Lutheran Book of Worship.
Laud and honor to you, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring. You are the King of Israel and David's royal son. Now in the Lord's name coming, our King and Blessed One. All glory, Lord, and honor to you, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring. The company of angels are praising you on high. Creation and all mortals in chorus make reply. All glory, Lord, and honor to you, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring. The multitude of pilgrims with palms before you went, our praise and prayer and anthems before you we present. All glory, Lord, and honor to you, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring. To you before your passion They sang their hymns of praise. To you now high exalted, our melody we raise. All glory, Lord and honor, to you, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring. Their praises you accepted, accept the prayers we bring. Great author of all goodness, O good and gracious King. All glory, Lord and honor, to you, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring.
Congregation, may be seated. A couple of announcements that I want to highlight for you. First of all, our children's sermon for tonight will be posted separately online, and the title is called Every Knee Shall Bow, so watch for that on Facebook. Also, you'll notice that there will be no benediction at the close of our service for tonight. Instead, we are in one continuous service of worship and will receive the benediction on Easter Sunday. Granted, this week will be a bit different for Holy Week, given that we cannot have in-person worship, but I've got some signs all around here that I can see. So I see Rich and Janet Stanley, Rich and Janet Sunday, and I see Dick Stanley, and the Pierces are over there, so I know where all of you are usually sitting. There's Don back there and Marjean here, and so that's how I'm living through this week, and thank you for worshiping with us virtually as well. I believe those are the announcements that need to be highlighted. We'll continue with our scripture readings.
The first lesson is from Isaiah chapter 50, beginning with verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with the word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting, but the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 118 in a responsive reading. Open to me the gates of righteousness,
that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it.
I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
The second lesson is from Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The title of my sermon for tonight is Ride On, Right On. Right on, like right on the money, or right on the spot, Johnny on the spot, or perhaps you find yourself arriving late for a meeting, and you say, I apologize that I'm late, and then the person you're meeting says, well, actually, according to my watch, you're right on time. Ride on, right on. The words of a favorite hymn in my life, but to a different tune, go like this. Ride on, ride on, in majesty, in lowly pomp, ride on to die. Bow your meek head to mortal pain, then take, O Christ, your power and reign. Palm Sunday. Holy Week begins with a parade, but before we know it, we find ourselves in a funeral procession. And on the third day, rise from the dead. The year was 1942. You may recall that in 1942, the United States entered World War II. And so some of the first troops were landing in London, and they were being received, if you will, with a hero's welcome. There was like a parade. The streets were lined and people were shouting and there was adoration, there was acclamation, there were shouts of praise. The U.S. soldiers are here and the young military personnel, the army men, they had faces full of joy and glee, optimism. And then suddenly they turned the street onto a main street and their joy turned into sadness. They saw the devastation of Hitler's bombings and what the Nazis had done. And they realized that there would be a tremendous cost and price to pay if, in fact, the Nazis were to be defeated and if, in fact, there was to be the restoration of peace. It starts off with a parade. Triumph. And before you know it, tragedy, a funeral procession. But lest we forget, we know the rest of this faith story. And on the third day, the Son of Man will rise from the dead. Throughout the season of Lent, we've been looking at faith stories from the Gospel of John particularly, but we've also been listening to faith stories from members of our congregation and also from friends of our congregation. Last week, we looked at the faith story of Lazarus and Martha and Mary. And you may recall in John chapter 11 that it starts off with a flare gun being shot off. It starts off with an SOS, a dialing of 911. Mary and Martha are crying out to Jesus, "Help me!" The one you love, Lazarus, he's deathly sick. You need to come ASAP. So what does Jesus do? Well, he delays. 48 hours, two whole days, he just waits. And by the time he gets to Bethany, the home of Lazarus and Martha and Mary, Lazarus has been in the tomb for four stinking days. If you'd been here, Lord, our brother would not have died. Jesus looks at Martha and in a few minutes at Mary and says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though they die, yet shall they live. Do you believe this? Just believe and you'll see the glory of God. Well, what happens? Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And what's the response? Many people see the sign and they come to faith in Jesus, saving faith. You see, when it comes to faith stories, everybody's got a story. But is it the faith story of Jesus, the saving faith of Christ? Many people come to faith because they see the sign, the raising of Lazarus. But not everyone is happy. In fact, it's the religious leaders, those who should know the scriptures frontwards and backwards, they're the opposition. They want to get rid of Jesus. They plot his death, and Caiaphas, unintentionally, prophesies. Don't you know, he says, that it would be better for one man to die than for our whole nation to be destroyed? Yes, without knowing it, he speaks the truth. Because what he says is that Jesus Christ was sent by the Father into this world so that one man, the new Adam, might die for the sins of the world. You see, a lot of times we think that our daily sicknesses, or right now COVID-19, is what we need to have defeated. But Jesus didn't come just to get rid of viruses, as deathly as they may be. No, Jesus came to defeat the devil. Jesus came to defeat sin and death, and on the third day, rise from the dead. Where is it that Christ gets his crown, his enthronement, his exaltation? It happens on Good Friday. Yes, this day starts with a parade, but it moves quickly to a funeral procession. The Son of Man must be exalted. That's where we see the glory of God, on the cross. Not everyone is happy. The religious leaders decide to put Jesus to death, and they're going to put Lazarus back in the tomb too. And then we get to John chapter 12. You see, there's always more to the story when it's the faith story of Jesus. What happens in John chapter 12? Well, what happens is that Mary and Martha and Lazarus want to celebrate their good news. The good news of Jesus. Jesus is the host and Jesus is the guest. He's the one that's invited into the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And there's a Thanksgiving feast, an offering of praise to God. And then you remember what Mary does? She takes some costly ointment, pure nard, and she pours it over the feet of Jesus and wipes his feet with her hair. Remember what happens with Judas Iscariot? He goes ballistic. Don't you know? This is a waste. We could have sold that perfume for 300 denarii, a year's worth of labor. We could have fed the poor, the hungry. And then parenthetically, we find out, like in parentheses, Judas didn't care squat about the poor. He was the group's treasurer, and he was an embezzler. Jesus says to Judas and the rest of his disciples, to all who are gathered for this Thanksgiving feast, you've always got the poor with you. And even in the midst of the coronavirus, we can still do good to those who are in need. Cautiously, carefully, but we can do good. We can be the body of Christ. We can be the bride of Christ for those who are in need. We can be the church. Immediately following this Thanksgiving feast, St. John introduces our gospel reading for tonight. The next day. Now, if you've read the Gospel of John recently, you know that the phrase, the next day, is an important one in the Gospel of John. The next day, something happens. It's 6 days before Passover, and people are gathered there in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Maybe 2 million people. And what happens? They've heard about the sign that Jesus has raised a man back to life after 4 days in the tomb, and they want to see Jesus. In fact, they feel that it's time to get rid of the Romans and to reestablish that great kingdom of David. And so they have a parade, and they have palm branches, And they're waving them, and they put their cloaks on the road. And Jesus, as you may recall, is riding into Jerusalem on what? A little donkey. Remember these words? Ride on in majesty, in lowly pomp, ride on to die. Bow your meek head to mortal pain. Then take, O Christ, your power and reign. It's Palm Sunday, and the people are crying out, Hosanna, which means, save us, Lord. But they don't need to be saved just from the Romans. We don't need to be saved just from COVID-19. No, they needed to be saved from the devil, from hell, from sin and death. And that's why Jesus was sent into the world, and that's why Jesus dies on the cross. It's Holy Week. St. Paul, in his Epistle of Joy, while Paul is in prison, sings a hymn. It's called the Christ Hymn. It was our epistle reading for tonight. Remember these words? Have this mind among yourselves, which is already yours in Christ Jesus. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to purchase it. It's already yours in Christ Jesus. The Greek is en Christos, which means in Christ or Christian. What Paul is talking about is baptism, not as a hocus-pocus event of the past, but as a daily dying and rising, walking, riding, living with Jesus, following him, having the mind of Christ, which is already ours. Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He emptied himself. He took on the form of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and on earth and even under the earth, in hell itself, will have to say, Jesus is Lord, and will bend the knee in honor and glory to God. What does it look like for us to be, if you will, the transportation of Jesus, not just into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, but here in the 21st century, or here in Rochester, Minnesota? What does it look like to have the mind of Christ in daily life? One of my favorite authors is Corrie ten Boom. You know her story. She was born in 1892. Died April 15th on her birthday in 1983. Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy and her family, they provided a hiding place for Jews during World War II, when the Nazis were coming after the Jews. And they ended up at Ravensbrück in a concentration camp. Betsy died there. And after the war, Corrie went out. She produced, you know, some movies and some books. But she mainly went out speaking to people, telling them about the love of Jesus, the forgiveness of God through the death and resurrection of Christ. And it was in 1978, 5 years before she died, that Corrie suffered a stroke. It left her speechless. Then she had a second stroke that left her paralyzed, and then finally the third stroke that took her life. But before she had those strokes, before that she was given an honorary degree. And there was pomp and circumstance, there was celebration, acclamation, praise. And after the honorary degree ceremony took place, there was a press conference. And one of the reporters looked at Corrie ten Boom and said, this must be hard for you, all this praise and acclamation coming for you. And you know what Corrie ten Boom said? She said, well, actually, she said, do you remember the story of Jesus coming into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday? He rode on a small donkey. Now, do you think, Corrie ten Boom said, do you really believe that on that Palm Sunday, that when the people were shouting Hosanna and waving palms and putting their cloaks on the road, do you really think that that donkey thought in his head, this is for me? Of course not, she said. But if I can be a donkey for Jesus, if I can be a vehicle of transportation that brings the gospel, the saving story of Jesus, into the hearts of the unsaved, then all praise and glory to God. What does it look like to have the mind of Christ or to be the transportation for the good news of Jesus? Bill Wilson, when he was 12 years old, was abandoned by his mother. He sat on the corner of a street for 3 whole days waiting for his mom to come back, and she never did. But there was a man that picked him up. He happened to be a Christian, and he fed Bill, and then he paid for Bill to go to Bible school, Sunday school, camp, if you will. It was the first time that this 12-year-old had ever heard the good news of Jesus. Well, Bill gave his life to the Lord and later became a pastor. Pastor Bill Wilson, in 1980, he established a church and a mission. Metro World Child. He wanted children, especially in poverty areas and crime-infested areas, drug-infested areas like inner city New York, to be able to hear the good news of the love of Jesus. Well, he established a church there in one of the most dangerous areas of New York, and he was shot at, and he was stabbed a couple of times, and he was beat up, but he kept riding on, right on, because he knew how important it was that someone had shared the love of Jesus with him, and he wanted to share that love of Jesus with others. One day, a Puerto Rican woman came into Pastor Bill Wilson's church. And over time, she heard the gospel, and she came to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And then she wanted to live her life, if you will, the mind of Christ, be a donkey for Jesus. And so she said to Pastor Wilson, what can I do? How can I help? How can I serve Jesus? And he sat down with her. This Puerto Rican woman couldn't speak any English. And she didn't really have any talents except she loved children. So you know what Pastor Bill Wilson did? He put her on the buses. Every day the buses would go out into these poor areas, and they would pick kids up, and they would bring them to the church so that they could get Bible school or Sunday school. And that's what this Puerto Rican woman did. She'd find kind of a mangy-looking one, you know, somebody that was kind of dirty and filthy-looking. And what she would do is she would sit beside them, or if they were little, put them on her lap, and she did know a couple of words in English. She learned, I love you. And she learned, Jesus loves you. One day, a little boy came on with his sister, and they rode over to the church for Sunday school, and then back to his place, and every day she would hold this little squirt on her lap, and she'd say, I love you, and Jesus loves you. Well, guess what happened? One Sunday at 2:30 p.m., as the bus was taking the kids back home, this little boy sitting on her lap, he gets out the words, I love you. And then he hugged this Puerto Rican woman with the hug of Christ. That was at 2:30 p.m. on a Sunday. Four hours later, at 6:30 p.m., this little boy was found dead, and he had been beaten to death by his own mother, and placed in the trash. Pastor Bill Wilson says, one of the last things this little boy heard, he never heard it at home, one of the last things he heard, I love you, Jesus loves you. Ride on, ride on, in majesty, in lowly pomp ride on to die. Palm Sunday begins with a parade, and it ends with passion. But on the third day, dear friends in Christ, we live in the promise of the third day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we are able for our hymn of the day. Ride on in majesty, hymn number 121 in the Lutheran Book of Worship, and sung to the tune of Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Together we confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, found on page 84 in the front of the Lutheran Book of Worship. Page 84. Let us confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue with our prayers.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we praise you this day for your Son, Jesus. In him you have fulfilled all righteousness. Through his suffering and death, you have shown us that he is the promised Messiah, the one foretold in Scripture who would come to save your people. By his suffering and death, you have made possible the forgiveness of sin for all people. Help us to rejoice in this good news and to share it with all people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father God, forgive us when at times we act like the crowd waving palm branches and saying Hosanna, and at other times through our words and deeds crucify our Lord anew. Lead us to confession and repentance. Grant us grace as we walk through the week ahead. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus, we pray for your church here on earth. Fill her with faithful and humble disciples who will go out into the world and proclaim your message of love and forgiveness. Be with our Bishop Dan Selbo and all servants of the gospel in positions of leadership, pastors and lay people. Give us courage and power to fulfill the Great Commission. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, we lift up to you all in need of your healing touch. Grant healing of body for the sick, comfort of the soul for the grieving, and bring peace to those whose minds race with worry or confusion.
Gracious Father, we remember today Pastor Dan Brooklyn, Barb Stephenson, Letha Bothan, Kelly Stoyles, Denny Demerval, Elaine Jacobson, Pam Hammond and her daughter Katie, Julie Peterson, Judy Pierce's daughter Brooke and granddaughter Gabrielle, Brad Lund, Robert Harrison, Amy Cooper, Bernie Siebenhaler, Barbara Wills, Clayton Bundy, Karen Otis, Philip Coolidge, and all those who are affected by the coronavirus. We pray, Lord, for your comfort and your mercy for those who are battling this dreaded disease. We pray especially that you would comfort the family and friends of Robert Thompson, that you would be with our brothers and sisters at Old East Paint Creek and Old West Paint Creek Lutheran Church. Be with Pastor Ken Kimball. Be with those who grieve, Lord, Alicia Cooley, as she sorrows the death of her grandma, Gwen. And also be with her grandpa, Ron, as he suffers from failing health. We pray that you would be with Melody as she battles melanoma. Gracious God, hear these prayers and those that we bring before you right now.
Bless with healing all who put their trust and hope in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy Spirit, be with all who walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Comfort them with the hope of eternal life. Give them faith to entrust their dearly departed loved ones into your everlasting care. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from a portion of the Passion narrative from St. John, chapter 12. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of God and sons of the light." When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him. So that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, "Lord, who has believed what he heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe. For again Isaiah said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in Jesus, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. And Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on that last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." We sing together verses 1 and 3 of hymn number 94, "My Song is Love Unknown," verses 1 and 3.
My song is love unknown, my Savior's love to me. Love to the loveless shown, be. Oh, who am I that for my sake my Lord should take frail flesh and die? My Lord should take frail flesh and die. Sometimes they strew his way and his sweet praises sing, resounding all the day. Hosannas to the King. Then crucify his all their breath, and for his death they thirst and cry, and for his death they thirst and cry.
Please join with me in our dismissal dialogue. The week of the Passion of our Lord has begun.
Holy Week has arrived.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.